Thank you very much, Brother Marty. And ensemble, will you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Galatians as we continue to study this epistle. We have come to the fruit of the Spirit, found in Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature or the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Heavenly Father, speak to the speaker, listen to the listeners, and may you be pleased with what is done and imparted today by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we began speaking to you about the fruit of the Spirit. We point out to you that the fruit of the Spirit is not a sonny personality. It's not the result of a genetic makeup between mom and dad and you came out happy. It's not that you have an ability to tell jokes. It's not high emotions. The result of being civilized or refined. The fruit of the Spirit is a manifestation of the Spirit of Christ. His actual life imparted to us and in us by the Spirit of God, for the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of Christ. And so the fruits of the Spirit are what Christ is like. The gifts of the Spirit are what Christ can do. It's always more important what we are than what we can do. And that doesn't get much billing in Christian circles, is what can you do? But if I have no integrity, if I'm lacking honesty, if I cannot be trusted, then it doesn't make any difference what I can do. It's what am I before anything I can do. There must be integrity, there must be character, and there must be the righteousness of the life. One of the fruits of the Spirit is goodness, just plain goodness. We'll come to that in time. And so I hold before you then, excuse me, am I on, brother? Yeah, I am. Okay, thank you. The fruit of the Spirit, therefore, is the manifestation of the life of Christ, and consequently not the result of taking a charm course at Yonkers or any place else. Therefore, we ask for Christ to manifest his life, and we, by obedience, appropriate his life to be manifest for every situation. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you in this time that is mine on the subject of joy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, we spoke of last week, joy. And again, I say, getting ahead of myself, and if you want to put me on one mic or the other, we have a little problem, put me on one and put off the other. Okay, we've worked on it, we've got new cords, and when the new building is built, we're going to have a new PA system, and I will be grateful for that, among others. Thank you so much. All right, I just wear this for effect, forget it. I didn't have a tie clasp on this morning, so I needed one, and that's how I got it. Now, joy, that's something, I did not say fun, and again, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, which is not a sunny personality, not public relations ability, not how to tell jokes, not refinement, that's not it. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, and there's a lot of joy in the Bible, a lot of joy in the Bible. I mean, it just starts right in. You have the word joy, kara, mentioned 60 times in the New Testament. The verb karein, to rejoice, about 72 times, 132 times to rejoice or joy. That's a lot of happiness, a lot of joy. And I should say joy, there's a difference from that in happiness. The angels came to the shepherds and said, "Fear not, for I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the..." Thank you. The wise men looked up and they saw the star and they were filled with exceeding great joy. They said, "Oh, we thought we'd lost it for a while, but there it is." And they were so happy because it would lead them to the Messiah whom they sought. Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. You come to the tomb, as you saw this morning, and it says in Matthew 28:8, imagine marrying these two emotions together. And it said, the women came to the tomb and they departed with fear and great joy. Now put those two together. They were paralyzed by seeing an angel. They were absolutely petrified. We're not used to being around supernatural beings like that. And if an angel hides himself, then you talk to them like a regular person. But if an angel ever manifests himself, you'd be on your face as John the Apostle was in the book of Revelation. And somehow the power, not somehow, it pleased the Lord to reveal the angelic power, which is an expression of God's creative power, to the women. They were filled with fear. And yet, when they got the word from the angel that he was not there, he was risen, they departed with joy. I mean, can you see their face? Fear and joy. What a marvelous combination. Easter morning, great joy. The ascension, Luke 24:52. Jesus led them out as far as Bethany and blessed them, raised his hands, and he was taken up from them, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I mean, there's a lot of joy here, folks. Now, there's all kinds of joy in the Bible. There is the joy, first of all, of knowing sins forgiven. Will you turn, please, to Luke chapter 15, the story of the lost sheep, Luke 15. Verse 3, then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder. He didn't say, where you been, you naughty sheep? Look at these scratches on me from the nettles and the thorns. I've been chasing all this countryside field. About time. Come here. Whack, whack. No. He found the sheep and he put it on his shoulder. Joyfully. No, this is really true. Shepherds in our Lord's day, they all knew their sheep by name. You put 200 sheep out there, mixed them up from four flocks, and Shepherd A says, hiya, 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 over here, hiya, hiya. His sheep will come out the rest day. They know his voice. This is not just scripture. My sheep hear my voice. They know who it is, and they'll follow him. All right? And when he found that sheep, he put it on his shoulder joyfully. You know, my brother and I are about eight or nine. Mom and Dad rented a cabin on the lake, Greenwood Lake in Massachusetts, for a week. And they went out for a short errand. It was night and no floodlights, just one light bulb on the resort cabin. And we said, let's go for a ride. We got in the rowboat and we started rowing away into the darkness. But my folks came back. They were petrified. No kids in the cabin. And no boat at the dock. They got a man with a big five-cell flashlight. He began to sweep that bay. He couldn't see anything, and he couldn't hear anything. And if you're a parent, you know how you feel. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, my brother and I are way down the other end of the lake singing, blew the man down, hearty, blew the man down, you blew the man down, hearty, oh, have a great time. Meanwhile, back at the dock, my sons are drowned. We're rowing back, whoa, the man down, hearty, blew the man down. Pretty soon we hear someone says, boy, boy. My brother says, that sounds like Dad. I think it sounds like Mom. Boy, boy. That is Mom and Dad. Our singing stopped. The joy went out of our lives. We started rowing quite faithfully toward the sound. And when we got out about 600 feet, that light picked us right up. You know, it was so funny because as parents, they were so angry and so relieved, they didn't know which to do. They didn't know whether to kiss us or spank us, so they did neither. Now, they weren't quite like the good shepherd said, oh, we understand why boys would do that. Come here, sweetheart, let me give you a kiss. I don't know that I would have done that, my kiss. I've been so angry that they would put me through that, and yet so relieved that they weren't drowned. Notice the good shepherd. What are you doing out here? Do you know what you put me through? You know, dear friends, this morning, Jesus gives such a loving welcome. When we were lost, undone, selfish, rebellious, and doing nothing. But when we turned and surrendered, he never once said, you know, I want to talk about what you did last week. You know what you did last month? I want you to know. We know he knows. And we know he paid the price. He put up the sheep on his shoulder joyfully. This is the grace of God. This is why we have him to say, and can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood? Amazing grace. This is why, because it's the shepherd that
picks you and me up and lovingly put us there, and he pats us with a hand that has a hole through it from the scar. Marvelous. The joy of knowing you're forgiven. Secondly, the joy of a Christian climate. Please look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Now, this was written by Paul when he was in prison in Rome. He was not writing it from a deeper life conference in Antioch and a mountain retreat. Some difference. Now, you will notice it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Because everything else is a shifting basis of joy. It doesn't say rejoice in your car. Some of you haven't anyways. Yeah, my clunker, I couldn't get any joy out of that thing anyway. That's right. But if you've got a car that's presentable and you like it and you saved a lot and you bought it and the shiny fenders look at you and you can shave in it and you become attached, that gives me a lot of fun. I see they're putting out the Dodge Viper for a mere $50,000. Mere $50,000. 300 built this year, that's all. Go 180 miles an hour. I mean, you're going to get... You won't be home for lunch. Tell your wife, I'll be home in 6 seconds. And the police in Omaha can't chase you anyway, can they? I think they'll change it. Doesn't say rejoice in your grades, and you wouldn't anyway if you looked at mine. But maybe you do. Now, I mean, it's okay to have some subsidiary joy foundations. Doesn't say rejoice in your wife or your husband or your children. They may make you happy, they may not. They may give you joy, they may not. It can come, it can go. Doesn't say rejoice in your preaching. Rejoice in how big your congregation is. Don't rejoice in your privilege. It says rejoice in the Lord. Because what has happened is that by saving union, we've come into bonded relationship with Jesus Christ, who himself is joy. Jesus Christ was not an unhappy, surly, down-in-the-mouth person. People are not attracted to down people. Now, Jesus had his moments of sorrow. He wept at Lazarus' tomb. He was saddened to see the Pharisees reject the truth and angry on occasion when they would stand in the way of others coming to saving faith and told them so. But our Lord Jesus was a joyful man. They're not drawn to a grouch. They simply aren't. Little children, I mean, the mothers couldn't get their babies there fast enough. Prostitutes and tax collectors and those who committed treason were drawn to him over their own ungodliness. There was something about them that made Christ winsome, and you're not drawn to a grouch. And he wasn't. He says of him, he rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O God, that flesh and blood hath not revealed us to Peter, but you have. And I thank thee, O Father, and I rejoice in my spirit that you have not given this to these people, you reveal us unto babes. I thank thee, O Father. I rejoice in thee. He was a happy man. Rejoiced because of his union with the Father, and he knew as a human being, in union with God's Spirit, though he were God, he lived out of his humanity, fully dependent on the Spirit of God, never losing his deity. He was a happy, rejoicing man in God. And he couldn't, he didn't have a whole lot to rejoice in many times. He certainly, with someone running around plotting your life half of your three-year ministry, plotting to take away your life, I mean, that'd make you nervous. He's still going around rejoicing in the Lord. So that we're to find our joy in who Christ is. Now, when I was preparing this sermon, I wasn't particularly joyful. I got done, I was pretty happy. And I mean joyful, there's a difference. Happiness comes from happenstance, and your happenstances may become circumstances that won't make you happy in your happy stances. It may be an unhappy stance, see? Joy is something that comes from the fact I'm in bonded union with Christ. I am a redeemed, lost sinner that's come to grace. I have the presence of the Lord here now and here. Joy is not the absence of problems. It's the presence of Christ amidst the problem. And the same goes for peace, love, joy, peace. Peace is not the absence of problems. It's the presence of Christ in the problem, and that's why it's supernatural. How can you be happy? I'd rather say, how can you be joyful? But people don't say that, they say happy. But Christians should know the word joy, which is Rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because there's so much in Christ that should keep me rejoicing if I will call it to memory. If I will recall it and think about it, my sins are forgiven. Look all the way around. Look around your high school. Look around your shop. Look around your university. How many saved people do you see walking around with a confident expectation they should be with Jesus forever if they die? How many around you? Look around your neighbors. How many have that evidence in their lives that they've been transformed? Why you? Why me? I don't know. Why should I have Christian parents who prayed for me? Why you? Why should you wander into a church the gospel is being preached in when the half of America walks into churches that might as well be bakeries? Truth, as far as the gospel goes. I don't know. All I know, rejoice in the Lord. And if I get down, it's because I'm not remembering what Jesus has done for me and who he is. God's a happy God. What's it saying in the prophets? I will sing over you with joy. I will sing over you with joy. God's singing. I go to heaven just to hear that soul. I kid you not. Amazing. The voice that shook Sinai is going to sing solos over you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Please notice his lordship is connected with our joy. Not, oh, well, I have to obey God again. Rejoice in the Lord. Ha! Ah, you see, the only man that can be happy is the man who's under the lordship of Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always. You see, if you get in your lordship, have fun, man. You know what's going to take you? Try it. Not recommended. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. A lot of controversy in America today about the lordship salvation. Of course, the lordship salvation. Where else is it going to be? Don't find any other way in the Bible. Rejoice in the Lord always. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. You think he's going to say, well, now you half over here, enter thou in the joy of thy Savior, but the ones that really are spiritual, enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. Are you kidding? Sheep one, sheep two? Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. Hallelujah. Huh. Joy of knowing sins forgiven. Knowing it. Now, how many people would love to know that? Could. The joy of the Christian climate, you are in the Lord, bonded with him here. That's the climate of your heart and soul. I want to draw from that, from his own life. Thirdly, the joy of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 13:52, and they were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know how many of you have been in something like this. I've been around about three times. But there are occasions when God fills somebody with the Holy Spirit and they manifest holy laughter. It's not, ha ha, he told a joke. It is the expression of joy from deep within the Spirit. And they laugh, and they laugh, and they laugh. And when any time I've been around it, I just laugh too. It's contagious in the Spirit. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen? All right, praise the Lord. Now, it's not something turned on. It's just something from within. And they might laugh and laugh for 5 minutes. And it's not a joke. It's just they are so happy from the joy of God in them. It's a marvelous thing to see. I don't see it all the time. No, neither can you turn it on and turn it off. It is a fruit of the Spirit at the time of their being filled. Bless his holy name. Now, there's the joy of being healed. Acts 3:8. He entered the temple walking and leaping and praising God. He got out. He didn't have a wheelchair. He just sat on the ground. But when he got up, boy, he went straight up. And I'd say, let him run and leap and walk and follow him and chase him if you can, singing hallelujah all the way behind him. Anybody who wants to do that here when you get healed, praise God, I'll follow you if I can keep up with you. Now, there is neither joy of being healed, there's the joy of fellowship and meetings. 2 John 12, I trust to come unto you and speak face to face with you, John says, that our joy may be full. Not meeting together to see our flaws, but when we come together to remember the cause. God has taken a bunch of nondescript spiritual losers, forgiven us of our sin and our rebellion, our crimes against God, our selfishness, our lusting, our lyings, our stealings, our profanity, our drunkenness, our adulteries and fornications, our silky, stinking pride, and brought us to repentance and faith and grant us all a full pardon that we may receive from him his presence now and a fully written invitation to live with him forever. And he's brought us together, and that's the reason we're here. And I think that is marvelous. Amen? That's where we are. We're not superior. We're just having little reunions ahead of time before the one big meeting when the trumpet sounds. We all get called home to be with God's entire church at one time. Incredible. Now, that is a marvelous thing. And then, believe it or not, there's the joy of trials. James 1:2. Esteem it all joy when you fall into various trials, which will prove and refine your faith. Acts 5:41. The disciples, after they were beaten and then released, it says that they departed rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. It didn't say it was fun to suffer, or wasn't it fun to get a cat of nine tails across our bare back? No. Well, then what are they rejoicing about? I mean, there's nothing humanly to make you rejoice over having your back turned into a piece of beefsteak. And yet that's what they did. Now, you're either insane or there's something here to look at. And the world says you're insane. They rejoice with joy, counting it a promotion to suffer and be persecuted and beaten for the name of Christ. Rejoice. That's no fun. I'm not talking fun. I'm not talking being happy. The joy is deeper, the most profound thing out of which anything else could come, whether it's fun or happiness. If we don't have the joy of the Lord, then no matter what you put on top of it, it's like steam coming out of a bucket. Fun goes away, either too tired or wears out, no more fun or whatever. Can't do it anymore, too old, whatever. Happiness may come and go with a happenstance, but since our joy is the person of Christ in us and he's the source of it, then that never needs to go. I need to meditate on him and bless him and recall to my mind his many, many kindnesses, his present promises, and his future provision, that joy may rise up and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Bless you, bless you, bless you. For yourself and who you are and what you communicate and give to us. That, my friends, is joy. Now, our Lord added to this, quote, insanity by what he said in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6 and verse 22. Listen to our Lord. Blessed are you when men hate you. Now, right off the bat, that does not feel good. Blessed are you when men hate you. When they exclude you, that's rejection. And insult you, that's not affirming, to use all our current language, okay? He said, when that happens, plan a party. And when they reject your name as evil, not because you're late to work, not because you're a lazy worker, not because you borrow your neighbor's car and dent it, take it back to him and you don't tell him about it, but all this because of the Son of Man, because you're a Christian. When they hate you, when they exclude you, when they reject you because of the Son of Man, rejoice in that day. Not 6 weeks later when you got the victory at the altar. Rejoice in that day. I can always tell how spiritual I am at any given point by the amount of time it takes me to respond to what happened to me to a spiritual response. How much time does it take me? If my wife offends me, does it take me a day to forgive her, or a half a day, or an hour? How spiritual am I that day? Rejoice in that day. Not at the special convention with a special speaker who comes and has a series on comfort. How to overcome being misunderstood. I mean, one thing about the Lord, he not only came to earth, he was down to earth. I mean, that's why Christianity isn't hard. It's impossible. Christianity isn't difficult. It's impossible. That's why Christianity is Christ's life in you, or forget it. It's not going to come out of my genes, unless you've got different genes than I. Mine have faded anyway, so you wouldn't want them. Rejoice in that day. Oh, no. And leap for joy. We've got new life, we've got zeros, solos. We need a new group called Leapers Incorporated. I mean, it's going to be really very... going to be interesting membership. Now, here's the only people that can join and continue in Leapers Incorporated. You've been hated for Jesus' sake, excluded and insulted, and rejected for Jesus. In that day, you leap. Literally, for joy. You just made a tremendous deposit in the bank. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward on earth, no, in heaven. Secondly, you reached a very rare classification, for that is how the fathers in the back treated the prophets. How many want to be a prophet? Don't raise your hand. No prophet in the Old Testament ever applied for the job. You know why? No fun. No fun. Great joy. No fun. Great joy. And I mean, see, everybody wants prophet. I have your prophet. Long white hair. Mine's too short. You've got to have a big beard, and it's too straggly. Could never be. That's how they treat prophets. Now, all those who would like to apply for Leapers Incorporated, you have my blessing. And when we stand to sing a song we haven't sung in just a minute for 15 years, say, give or take, if you want to, if you qualify, you start leaping. It's fine with me. Been rejected, kicked around, despised, and sworn at, and kicked out of the house for Jesus' sake. You leap. You can start. You start the club. Amen. Now, see how joyful this is. You preach on joy, and it'll go quiet on you when you get to this part of it. That's why it's deeper than fun. That's why it's deeper than circumstances. That's what they're talking about. I don't know very much about this at all. I don't think I qualify for leapers. For one thing, even if I did leap, it was the next day, and Jesus said, in that day, and I missed it by a day. I'm preaching Elmer today, and if it ever comes Murdoch, you better jump, because you preached on it in that day. Amen. Chance to nail the preacher, you better say it, amen. With joy, you can nail me. All right, one last text. The kingdom of God is like a man who found treasure in a field. You see, in the Lord's day, they didn't have banks. If you're going to bank it, you banked it. If you dug a hole in the field and stuck it in a container, you left it there, and you knew where it was, nobody else knew where it was. You better hope that grandma had a good memory. And some people didn't remember, and some people got killed and died, and some people, battles came on, battles came and went, and they couldn't get back to it. This man's going through a field that's been raining, raining, raining. He looks down, he sees a little thing sticking out of the ground. Whoa, what's that? Looks like a box of some kind. My word, it is a box. My word, it's a big box. Whoa, this thing's so rusty. My word, money, coins. Down goes the cover, up goes the hole again, deeper down it goes, he covers over, he runs down to the real estate office and says, hey, who owns the 4 acres over there on Adams and Brown Street? Oh, I don't know, that's been around for 10 years, we can't find a buyer. I'll buy it. But in the background, he goes and sells all that he has that he might buy that field. That's Jesus, the treasure sent to this earth, buried, and only a few people find him, though he's there to be had. And it says, and with joy, he purchases that field. We come to Christ with joy, okay? And then the parallel parable. See, in our Lord's day, diamonds were not big time. Big time was pearls. They were the big time jewelry. Now, not so much today, but that's how it was then. I could go on and tell you the price, I won't do it. There was a man who was a merchantman. He went all over the world trying to find pearls. And he came to that one pearl of great price. And when he saw it, he traded in all the rest of his jewelry that he might buy that one pearl. With joy, Scripture says. Now, you have that pearl, for Jesus is the pearl of great price. And we're going to sing, and I had about 8 people on the first service, only 8 even remembered the song. Does anybody remember? We're going to sing. If you don't, you'll find it very easy to learn and sing. I found the pearl of greatest price, raise your hands, and I have got about 25 hands out of some 900 people. You'll recognize it, and don't sing it grouchy, folks. Better not sing than sing grouchy. All right. Will you stand, please? I found the pearl of greatest price. My heart doth sing for joy, and sing I must, for Christ is mine. Oh, what a Christ have I. As to the pearls, to the tune of the Happy Wanderer, and it goes like this. Everyone who knows is singing now. I found the pearl of greatest price. My heart doth sing for joy, and sing I must, for Christ is mine. Oh, what a Christ have I. He lives, he lives, he lives. I know that my Redeemer lives, he lives, he lives. He lives within my heart. My Christ, he is the Lord of lords, the sovereign King of kings, the risen Son of righteousness, with healing in his wing. He lives, he lives, he lives. I know that my Redeemer lives, he lives, he lives. He lives within my heart. My Christ, he is the tree of life that in God's Eden grows, the living clear as crystal streams, whence life forever flows. Sing. He lives, he lives within my heart. He is my drink, my medicine, my health, my portion, my inheritance, and all his boundless wealth. Sing it out now. He lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. He lives. He lives. He lives within my heart.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, thou great pearl. Thou dost beautify our lives with yourselves, Lord. Thou great, precious jewel of heaven. Thou unspoken beauty. Lord, thou undescribed, glorious, wonderful, precious, indescribably majestic God. How we honor thee. Oh, and your gentleness is made great in your majesty. And your majesty is made acceptable in your gentleness. You've called us from the pools and the ponds of iniquity and the mud of sin. You've cleansed us by your life. You've given us every hope in this world and the promise of your immediate presence forever. You've given us angelic protection, food for our day and way. Oh, blessed be Jesus, who hath called us to himself and into the fellowship of his own self. In these things we thank thee for, and God's people say, amen. See you tonight. Amen. See you tonight.